produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, good day to all our friends, our listeners, and this is Pearl Coupe on our regular radio program. I'm so pleased to be able to share a word of God, and I am so blessed. I'm not in my usual place of residence, which happens to be Pretoria, South Africa. I'm actually in Botswana, and I'm in the northern part of Botswana, in a place called Maun, which happens to be a tourist center. And where I am, I'm surrounded by animals, by giraffe, by kudu, impala, and it's just so beautiful. There's water, there's so much scenery. It's here that you can begin to remember that God is creator. And what is man? I mean, what is man that you who created all of these things, Lord, who are we? And surrounded by all this beautiful creation, I'm just so blessed to be able to have a time of rest and a time of reflection and meditation upon Him and His Word. Do make sure, beloveds, that you, in this busy world that we're in, you find time to rest, you find time to meditate on His goodness, to find a time to do that every day. You know, just 30 minutes of your life, of your time maybe in, during the day. It's a great way to start the day, just meditating upon His goodness, meditating upon His grace, and just making sure that you are centered in Him. The Word of God says, in Him we live and move and have our being. So I just wanted to encourage you with that word before we get into our word for the day. And this week I want to talk about grace. Grace. The other day I was ministering somewhere and I began to share about grace, and I felt just led today to talk a little bit about what I was sharing on grace, because grace is widely misunderstood, and a lot of us live our lives, you know, thinking that we can abuse the grace of God. And it's important that we understand grace. Who is grace? Because I believe grace is a person. And how we receive grace in our own lives and make sure that grace works on our behalf. And how do we do that in terms of reaching out to touch grace and to receive grace? Because grace is received. If you don't receive it, grace cannot work for you. It's possible to reject grace. So we're going to have a little chat about grace. And I want to start off, first of all, by saying or defining grace. And I think a good definition that will help us start off our sharing is to say the grace of God, if we simply define it, we can define it to be the measure of the person, presence, and ability of God that is freely made available to members of His family in the person and influence of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the purpose of coming into His kingdom, living, serving, and demonstrating Him. So the grace of God is the measure of a person, first and foremost, and that person's presence and ability. The presence, person, presence, and ability of God. That's one. Secondly, about the grace is it's freely made available to members of His family in the person and influence of Jesus Christ for the purpose of coming into this kingdom to live, serve, and demonstrate Him. So that is grace in a nutshell. And I think a good scripture for us to start on is 1 Corinthians 12:9. And that scripture says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" So grace, first and foremost, that we need to know is that it comes from God. Grace comes from God, beloveds. And grace not only comes from God, grace is God. Grace is a person. And John 1:16 puts it this way. It says, out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace, which is him. Because once we receive Yeshua, we receive grace. So out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace. And that really, when we talk about receiving grace upon grace, what have we received? We've received spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. We've received favor upon favor and gift heaped upon gift. So the first instance, we must know that grace and God are inseparable. When we come to God, when we come to God and we receive Yeshua HaMashiach, we come to Christ, he dishes out grace in heapings, in huge servings. And as we receive grace, we also receive spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessings. We also receive favor upon favor, and we also receive gifts heaped upon gifts. So Christ is our, what we could call, Christ is our grace dispenser. He is our grace dispenser. And grace also, as we've said, equals spiritual blessings, it equals favor, and it equals gifts. All of these things, spiritual blessings, favor, and gifts, are all a part of what I would call the grace package. It's a grace package. You cannot receive grace without receiving spiritual blessings, without receiving favor, and without receiving spiritual gifts as well. Second thing that we need to talk about when we talk about grace is that grace doesn't cost anything. We have so many people misrepresenting the gospel and charlatans out there who allege to be representing the gospel when in truth they are misrepresenting the gospel. And many people present the gospel as if you have to pay money to receive spiritual blessings, pay money to receive favor. And I want to say that grace doesn't cost you and I anything. You don't have to buy grace. Freely you have received of his grace, and freely, you know, whatever we've received of, we must also give of. And so I want to just caution us out there to say, be careful of those out there who make you feel like you must pay to receive grace. You know, we remember somebody in the Bible called Simon the Sorcerer, who came out of the occult, who came out of witchcraft. And we know by reading the account that he tried to buy the gifts of God. When he saw the apostles of God operating in signs and wonders and miracles, he wanted to purchase those gifts. And we need to be very aware that when we receive grace, it includes the gifts. And the disciples, you know, when they were approached by Simon the sorcerer to say, how much can I buy these gifts for? You know, how can I get these gifts? What does it cost? They told him actually to perish with his money. They told him to perish with his money. And in this season, we must know those who try to sell his grace, which comes free of cost, will actually perish with their money. The next thing that we need to know about grace is that grace and power go together simultaneously. However, it's not about human power. It's about God's power. Where God's grace is, his power is also there. They're like twins. You cannot have grace and not operate in power. So when we receive of God's grace, we also receive power to operate in his grace. And like I've said, it's not about our own human power. It's not about our human effort, but it's about God's grace and God's power. It's a package deal. They're almost twins. Grace and power go together. And many of us, if we're looking for grace, it's not as a result of our intelligence, our IQ. So you may have a very high IQ. High IQ, but it's not your IQ that releases grace on your behalf. So intelligence quotient is not going to release grace on your behalf. It's our relationship, essentially, with Yeshua that connects us to that grace. Many of us walk in self-righteousness. We walk in pride. We walk in arrogance. And that also will not activate grace. You know, we've seen the example of the Pharisees in the Bible, and one of the things that caused Yeshua to call them hypocrites and vipers is because they walked in that self-righteousness, in that, in that pride, in that arrogance, in that sense of superiority. And I want to say that when you walk in self-righteousness and arrogance and pride and think you're all that and think you know more than everybody and, you know, walk in being judgmental and condemnation and condemning and always criticizing others, that will not activate grace. In fact, self-righteousness, arrogance, pride, sense of superiority will actually repel grace. It will not attract grace. So grace is not released because of our intelligence quotient, our IQ. It will not be activated through our self-righteousness, arrogance, and pride, or sense of superiority, nor will it be released out of our religiosity. Again, the Pharisees were very religious. So sometimes we get very religious and we think that, you know, by doing certain things, doing certain acts, that it's going to release grace. No amount of prayer shawls, you know, there's some of us out there who think that just by wearing a prayer shawl that it's going to activate grace. No, a prayer shawl should not be used for anything more than a point of contact. There is no power in the prayer shawl, just as there's no power in anointing oil. It must only be used as a point of contact, not as a way of releasing power, because the power is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So the power of God rests and is vested in us as human beings. We are the temple of his spirit, of his Holy Spirit. So we use shawls and things like that only as a point of contact, not because they contain any power. So grace is not activated by prayer shawls or however many bottles of anointing oil we buy. It will not release grace. So that's what we wanted to just share on this aspect, is that grace and power go together. You cannot have God's grace and not operate in his power. And grace is not released by our intelligence, our IQ. It's not released by our self-righteousness, arrogance, and pride. It's not released by our sense of superiority, nor is it released by our religiosity. But where grace is, power is also released. And where his grace is, his power also will function and will operate. Grace and power go together, and it will not be constrained by our lack of human power. Grace is able to operate in our human weakness. So grace is not constrained, it's not limited by our human weaknesses. It can function in the face of our limitations. So for instance, you may not be educated. It's not an impediment to God's grace working and operating in our lives. Your lack of education is not an impediment to grace functioning and operating in our lives. You may be unemployed. The fact that you're unemployed cannot demobilize grace. In fact, that weakness or limitation of unemployment can actually operate and provoke grace to operate on your behalf. Whether you're married or not is not a qualification to connect to grace. You may be a single person, a single woman, or you may be a divorced woman, like we read about the story of the woman at the well, who was not even just divorced once, but we read of her five divorces. And in fact, the sixth man she was with, she was not even married to, living in sin. But grace was still activated on her behalf. She met Yeshua at the well. So your marital status is not an impediment to grace operating in your life. Your age is not something that can disable grace. You may be young, you may be old, you're still able to connect to and receive of grace and find and see and watch grace operating on your behalf, regardless of your age. So your youth or your old age cannot disable grace. Your social status and standing and financial status is not something that can disconnect you from grace. So you can receive of his grace even if you have no money. Even if your social standing is not the greatest, you may be somebody maybe who's working as a housekeeper, cleaning houses, and you think that that is not a great profession to have. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what you do in life. As long as you are connected to Yeshua and in relationship with Yeshua, that is what now enables grace to be released into your life and grace to operate on your life. You and I are the only ones who can disconnect or remove ourselves from grace by essentially disconnecting ourselves from God. So grace can work on our behalf, beloved. Grace can operate and function in our lives, but we must connect to grace. We must connect to grace ourselves. Next thing I want to talk about is the fact that grace does not run out. We read the previous scripture in Corinthians, and that scripture that talks about the sufficiency of his grace. I'll read it again, 1 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. So grace does not run out. His grace will always be sufficient for us. There is no shortage of grace. There will never be any shortage of grace. Our responsibility is to connect to grace, to reach out for it. Grace can never fail us. It is us, perhaps, who fail to reach out for grace. I was reminded, you know, one day, I'm not a big fan of wrestling. I never watch wrestling. In fact, I have very little time to watch TV. But one day I was watching wrestling. And as I was watching wrestling, I came across a wrestling match where they call it tag team wrestling. And the principle behind tag team is that you have two teams of two people each. So you have one team which has two people on one side and another team with two people on one side. And initially, you have a person and their opponent, and they will start wrestling. But the principle behind tag team is when one of the people or wrestlers is getting very badly beaten, they have the ability to reach out to their partner who is waiting on the, you know, wrestling ropes there, waiting to be tagged. Once the person, the opponent who's being beaten, can tag their partner now comes in and starts to now fight on their behalf, and they're coming in fresh, and they're able to overpower the other opponent. So there's a tag team. There's a transaction that happens that when the person is being beaten, they go to touch their partner, and their partner comes in to operate on their behalf and to take over the fight. And that's really, you know, when I saw that, God says to me, that's kind of how grace functions. When you feel like life is beating you down, when you feel like, you know, the enemy is hammering you, when you feel like sin is about to conquer you, you and I must go out and reach out to grace and tag grace. So touch grace, and grace is like a tag team. It comes in as you reach out for it. It comes in and it's able to function on your behalf. But you and I must reach out to tag grace. Grace has to be received. It is possible to reject grace. Grace is always there for you and I. Make no mistake about it. It is always there. There's no shortage of it. There's no short supply of it. It is always sufficient for us. But we must reach out and tag grace and connect to grace. If you're walking in pride, pride cannot receive grace. Pride will not admit, first of all, to weakness. So, and human weaknesses, actually, when we admit to human weaknesses, can actually activate grace. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, not only my grace is sufficient for you, but it's made perfect in our weaknesses. So when we acknowledge our own human weaknesses, that we cannot do it, and we reach out to tag grace, then grace is able to operate on our own behalf. When we acknowledge that we can't do it in our own strength, but we reach out for God's strength, for God's grace, then we're able to receive of his grace, and the grace is able to be activated on our behalf. So grace upon grace. There are levels also of grace that we must understand. John 1:16 says, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. I like the Passion Translation. It says, and from the overflow of his fullness, we received grace heaped upon more grace. And so, beloveds, understand and know that as we continue to daily seek him, to pursue him, you know, as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added to him. Part of what will be added to us, all will be added to you. Part of what will be added to us is greater levels and measures of grace as we continue to seek after God, to pursue him with a single-mindedness. We are able to connect to greater levels of grace, greater levels of grace. Now, the next point that I want to make is also we must understand that grace is received and released for assignment. It's not just released for us just to say, oh, I've got grace. It's released for assignment. Remember, we started off this teaching to define grace, to say that it is the measure of the person, presence, and ability of God freely made available to members of his family in the person and influence of Jesus Christ for the purpose of coming into his kingdom, living, serving, and demonstrating him. So once we've received Yeshua, then we receive grace so that we can live, serve, and demonstrate him. And so the next point I wanted to talk about is that grace is released for assignment, for assignment. Many people associate grace with sin. For instance, they think that you can only connect to grace when you mess up. No. In fact, to be perfectly honest with you, grace is not a license to sin. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, the scripture says, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? So grace is not a license to sin. And again in Romans 6:15, it says this, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And then it says, certainly not. So understand that it is by the grace of God through faith in Yeshua that sets us free from the dominion of sin. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace actually, through faith in Yeshua, sets us free from the dominion of sin. And grace, as I've said also, is we should not associate grace with only sin, that we connect to it when we mess up. But grace, we receive of grace so that we can deliver on our assignment. So grace is received for assignment. Grace is received so that you and I can align to our kingdom purpose, to our kingdom mandate. Grace is received so that we can go out there and be bold to fulfill our specific mandate in life. Now, we know that we've all been given a purpose, the ministry of reconciliation. We must go out there and evangelize. We must go out there and preach the gospel. We must go out there and disciple nations in line with Matthew 28:19-20. We must go out there in line with Genesis 1:26-28 and have dominion and subdue and take authority. We must go out there in line with Luke 19:13 and occupy and do business until he comes. We must go out there in line with Matthew 5:13-14 and be the salt that adds flavor and be the light that confronts and challenges darkness and brings light wherever we go. And it will take grace to fulfill all of that. It will take grace. And on top of that, We are also called to specifically fulfill our own assignments in life. God has given each and every one of us a combination of gifts, a package of gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 6 to 8, we read about the different gifts, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And all of us have that combination, that package of different gifts. And in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, we read about the redemptive gifts or the motivational gifts of God. And there we also see gifts of God that we have different packages of. And when we receive grace, it's so that those packages, those different mixtures of gifts in us can function, can operate, so that we can fulfill our specific assignment, the specific assignment that God has given each and every one of us to fulfill in our lives. In Jeremiah 1:5, God, you know, spoke to Jeremiah. And he reminded him that before he was formed, before you were formed, Jeremiah, in your mother's womb, he said, I knew you and I already ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah's assignment was as a prophet. He was ordained to function at international level. Each and every one of us, before we were formed, fashioned in our mother's womb, we were ordained with a purpose in life, and we were given gifts to fulfill that purpose, that assignment in life. So understand, beloved child of God, that God's not just throwing us out there to say, go and fulfill that assignment. I've ordained you. I've sent you out there for your specific assignment, and I've gifted you. God is saying also, I've released grace upon your life to fulfill that assignment. Remember at the beginning, we also said that grace, the grace package includes spiritual blessings. The grace package includes spiritual favor. The grace package includes spiritual gifts. And so all of that favor, that those gifts, all of that, the gifts, the grace that is released upon us is released so that you and I can function and fulfill our specific kingdom mandates, our assignments in life. And so with that, I just want to thank you. Thank you for joining us for this teaching, and may God's grace be released upon you. God's great grace be released upon you so that you and I can go out there receiving grace as a person, receiving the person of Yeshua HaMashiach. May we receive grace knowing that it comes from God. It doesn't come from the world. May we receive grace knowing that grace is a person, the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, and Christ is the grace dispenser. And as we receive grace, we receive spiritual blessings, we receive spiritual favor, and we receive spiritual gifts. May we receive grace knowing that it doesn't cost anything. We don't have to buy it. We freely receive of His grace. May we receive grace knowing that when we've received His grace, we've also received His power. We cannot have grace without His power. May we receive grace knowing that it can operate even in the face of our human limitations and our human weaknesses. And may we receive grace knowing that it never runs out. It is sufficient for us. We just need to reach out and receive grace. And also receive grace upon grace. It comes in levels. And lastly, knowing that grace is not a license to sin, but it is released upon us for assignment. So let's go out there knowing that we are in relationship with Yeshua. We've received Him and He is grace. And we go out there to get that grace to operate on our behalf for our assignments and our alignments. And may you receive that grace for boldness. I love you with the love of the Lord, and give God all the glory for your life. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
The praises and the songs, and we're shouting, we're testing away, we're all dancing, glorifying God, singing your songs, but you're so far away from Him. I want to talk about the elder brother today. I want to talk about the elder brother, because the elder brother concerns me. And it concerns me for a few things, because when I look at him, I thank God that the elder brother did not go anywhere. Let me commend him first. I thank God that he was nowhere near to this younger brother, because the younger brother distanced himself from the source of life. Because you've got to understand, the true picture here is the word father, is the word pater in Greek, is the word Abba in Hebrew. Both words means source of everything. So the younger son left the source of life, distanced himself. But the elder brother was in the hood. The elder brother was in the environment. The elder brother was in the church. The elder
Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network. This Pastor Josh Moyo, all the way from Australia, Western Australia, bringing you on our Western Standard Time, the voice of destiny, empowered for your destiny. Now, I want to engage with you on a story that you already know, commonly known as the story of the prodigal son. And theologians and biblical scholars will tell you that when you read that story, it is not really about the prodigal son, it is actually about the unconditional love of the Father. So please, engage with us as we see what God has for us even right now from the book of Luke chapter 15 from verse 11, but my motivation starts from verse 25 to verse 32. Thank you.
But he was angry and would not go in.
Shelley, thank you. I wanted to see where Shelley was reading there, because there's something very soon I'm gonna be closing, but I wanted to catch this. Shelley, read for me again, verse 25, let them hear it.
Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant.
Now, I wanted to say that, because this 25, verse 26 is going to give us some key indicators that are very practical and they are very important for you and I to understand. The older son is working in the fields. As he listens, he hears some choreography and some symphony, some harmony, some singing, some music, but I'm not thinking that this would have been the only first time they played music in that house. But this day, I think something is a bit different. But I'm going to give you three red flags. Are you ready for the three red flags? So that you can learn something from the elder brother syndrome. The first red flag that I wanted to see is, when he hears the music playing in the house, remember, he belongs in the house. He does not ask the father. So that's a red flag for me. That's a red flag. That he asks the servant. Come on, elder brother. You have a relationship with the father, crying out loud. I know what that makes me feel. If you're a parent, right, and you know that at school they wanted new files, you know at school they wanted your kids to bring new pencil cases, at school they wanted them to bring some apparatus to make sure that they can continue to do their mathematics or whatever, algebra, whatever the case may be. And then every time your son or your daughter does not come to you as the father, and they always go via prince. And the prince comes to tell me, and I'm thinking, why are you going to prince? Why not coming to me? Because I've got a relationship. So that tells me, red flag number one. The elder brother has a historical problem. And the historical problem that teaches me that for a very long time, even though he worked in the fields, he served in the fields of his father, but there was never a close relationship there. Because if there was a close relationship, he could have gone rush in the house and begin to talk to his father. Daddy, explain please what's going on here. But he doesn't. He goes to somebody. Always be very careful. Just make that in your life. Your relationship with God is not meant to go via somebody else. I've just mentioned something that's very important for you. Yeah. Because there are many Christians who, not prayed to God the Father themselves. So every time when they have a problem, Inonge, pray for us. There's nothing wrong with doing asking for prayer. Shirley, please pray for me. Prince, please pray for me. Pastor, please would you pray for me? Prayer from others has a place in the kingdom. But if that becomes your culture, that whenever there is a problem in your home, you can't pray for yourself. You can't chase out the demons for yourself. You can't chase out the bad spirits for yourself. Because the truth is, the ones that you're asking prayer from, they will have their own problems as well. And sometimes if you depend always on the pastor to pray for you, when the pastor goes through pain, when the pastor goes through his personal challenges, I can tell you right now, before I come praying for you, I'll pray for me too, because I've got my own issues as well. So I want to say to somebody, red flag number one, the sun goes via somebody. He goes to a third opinion. He goes to a servant, to a servant. He goes to a servant. I pray that number one, may you and I establish an ongoing personal, direct revelation of communication with God, amen, where you can be able to say to yourself, yes, my Father, yes, who art in heaven, not yes, my Father via Ian Valentine, not my Father via Prince, not my Father via anybody or via Josh, but my Father. He's my Father because, amen, he's my source of life. He's my Father because he's my source of peace. He's my Father because he's my source of joy. He's my Father because he's my, a personal relationship I have built with him. Before, therefore, I tell my problem to X, Y, Z, I can bring it to him alone and say, Father, there is this problem that I have in my life. He desires to hear from his children. That's a father and a child relationship. How are you going in your relationship with your Father God? Are you the one that is just so religious? Oh, let's go for prayer because this problem is too big for us. Oh, let's go to church today because, as you know, we have got a bigger problem in front of us. As we go through, our marriage is going through hiccups and our marriage is going through divorce. Let's go to church. Is your relationship with God based on what he does for you?
Yeah.
Or you love him because of who he is?
Yeah.
I've stopped the relationship with him, knowing there are times I will get sick. He's still a father anyway.
Amen.
There are times there'll be pain in my body. He's still my father anyway.
Amen.
The elder brother is showing us some things here that are very, very interesting, because I call them the red flags, because these red flags help us to understand what's happening there. He asks somebody, instead of going to his father, that teaches me, therefore, the relationship he had with his father,
yeah,
was not as close as we think it was. Yes, I saw the younger son left. But today I want to defend him. We talked a lot about him. The bigger brother also had a problem. Even though he was in the environment with the father. Even though he was in the same house with the father. There was no relationship there with the father. But you build up your relationship with your father. Tell him about your needs. He wants to hear from you. You are worth, you are valuable. You are his child. That's red flag number one. Red flag number two. My concern is, he's outside. He's outside. And when you study the etymology of what we're doing up in there, I can understand why the servants were outside, because the house was just for the sons. So there's celebration going on in the house. I think the elder brother is supposed to be there celebrating and welcoming, my brother is back. But already we pick up a problem here. And the problem that we're picking up is, he's outside and he's not even in. Where are you as far as your relationship with God is concerned? How are you doing? How are you doing as far as hearing God is concerned? I often say there are many voices that are talking in the world today. If you are not careful to build a constant, consistent, disciplined lifestyle with God, you can pick up wrong voices in the spirit.
Listen to me, child of God. There are many thousands and thousands of voices talking
today in the world.
Supernaturally, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So that scripture means, in John chapter 10, it means there are strange voices. Oh yeah, I know. That's why I realize some of the mistakes that you have made. You thought it was God, yet it was not. How should you know? Let me help you. How will you know it's God when you spend time with him? I've given this example quite a number of times, and I say, the only reason why, if my wife was not in the house and she was shouting or saying something outside there, and I can tell you, even though there were thousands and thousands and thousands of voices, if she lifted up her voice, I will tell you, I can say, that's the voice of my wife there. It's a simple reason. I know her voice. I've lived with her for 28 years. I know when she's happy. I know when she's struggling with me. I know when I've done something wrong. And I know when she calls me by my full name. The day she calls me Joseph, she was your
brother.
Uh-oh.
But listen. Do you know his voice? Red flag number one. He asks the servant instead of asking Daddy himself. Red flag number two. He's outside. So close yet so far. That he's there. I want to challenge your prayer life today. I want to challenge your devotional lifestyle. I want to challenge your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Are you the type that just goes to God when there's a problem? Are you the type that just consult God when things are not going the right way? You haven't seen Christians pray up until they go through divorce, when they go through problems, or they go through financial crisis. You haven't seen Christians pray up until they are told, gee, this thing is terminal that you carry. Then they fast. Automatically, those who say, I can't fast, you know, because when I fast, I go dizzy. You haven't seen Christians pray up until they are under pressure. Here's my prayer for you. Develop a relationship with him. Not from outside. Come and enjoy the privileges in the house. Come and sit on the table with your father. The elder brother concerns me because he speaks to the friends, to the servants, before he speaks to God. But he concerns me because he's outside and he's not where the action is happening. But you know what I love? I love just the fact that elder brother, even though you stand outside, but the party will continue without you. Mm. That's a bit painful, isn't it? That the father would not stop the party. So I want to say to you, come in. Enjoy the party. Come on, just tell the neighbor with me. Just tell them, come inside. Come and tell them again, come inside. The party is not out there.
Yeah.
The party is not just the songs we sing. The party is not just the giving we do. The party is not just the dancing we do. Come on. The party is not just the hearing we do, but it is hearing and doing. The party is part of the party is you being involved in the action of doing what the Father is asking you to do. Come and join what God wants you to join inside the house. Somebody shout amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to talk right now, flag number three that I wanted to see right now here. It is a very important flag because this flag, it's a flag that I think, it seems to me that the elder brother was mad at the comeback of the younger brother. Shelley, I wanted to finish it for me where you were reading. And I want to read for me there in verse 28. What does it say?
But he was angry and wouldn't go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, this many years I've been serving you, I've never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends.
Thank you, Shelley. Here's what the brother
the older brother is. Now we see that he's angry. He's mad. He's so mad that he will not even go in. He's so mad that why is the younger brother receiving a celebration party comeback? But you will understand, you and I, because the father already has said, come celebrate with me because my son was dead. I'm sure you agree with me. If you're dead and we prayed for you and you came alive, I'm sure you agree with me. We need to celebrate that. But you see, the son, the elder brother is not happy that the younger son has resurrected from the dead. He doesn't want to enjoy the celebration of the younger son. So the Bible says the father begged him. And here's what he says. All these years, I have slept for you, never once. I refused to do a single thing you told me. So which means historically, this boy has built a history. Whenever he was doing whatever he was doing for his father, he was saying, I'm doing this for him. So you can tell there was no relationship there. I have been doing all this thing for you. And I hear Christians pray that prayer. God, I have done all this for you all these years. I don't know why you are not blessing me. I don't know why you are not giving me what I want. I don't know why you are not causing this to happen in my life. Because the relationship with God, it has got a historical context to it. And the historical context is, he is reminding the father that for all these years, I did this for you. For all these years, I've done this for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your relationship is with God today, but it seems to me that the older brother is carrying a lot of baggage in his heart, and that baggage is destroying him. There is a lot of trauma that we have been building up for these years. We know there is trauma. There is abuse stuff that is taking place in him. We don't know what that abuse is, but we can tell when he builds a historical context to it, because he says, for all these years, he has never enjoyed a relationship and a fellowship with the father, but he was serving in his field, served with pain, served with drama issues, served with abuse, served with trauma issues, except with the pain that could not go away. Except with it. It was right there. It was right there every day, day in and day out. It was a historical pain. But I also realized, number two, this boy suffered from what I call a moral perspective, because I'll show you where it says that. I'm going to read this for you, Shelley. It says here in the verses that I'm praying. All these years, I've slept for you. Never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all that time, you never gave me a young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, hang on. Because I had to go back to verse 13. When I went back to verse 13, the Bible says, he spent his money wild living. Verse 13. It says, the young son spent his money on riotous living, did not mention at one go prostitutes. But when the son, elder brother, comes in, he begins to embellish, he begins to stretch. And he says, he spent with prostitutes, which makes me now wonder, are you exposing yourself, elder brother, seeing that you're also given your money? Why are you mentioning what was not mentioned? Because sometimes we don't realize that when we have an attitude that stinks against our brothers or sisters, sometimes it is our own pain. You didn't hear me? Sometimes we speak because it's not what's in them. It's actually what's in you. The pain that is in you echoes out. And when it comes out, with a lot of harshness, and you wonder what's going on there. The younger brother did not squander his living. The Bible does not say that. with a prostitute. But the elder brother speaks out that an indication of an attitude that is not right, right deep inside of his life. He embellishes the truth. I don't know where you are yet. Are you the one? You are angry. Why God is blessing others? And why are you left? Because when I read that story, I'm beginning to think, are you angry at the younger brother or you are angry at the father for welcoming the younger brother? Which is it? What are you angry for? Towards your younger brother? Or you are angry at why God is being nice to the person you're expecting justice from? I'm going to pray. The older brother is angry. Number one, historically, for all these years, he has been serving God for what he could get, not for who he is. But number two, the older brother is angry. He's mad because morally, he has an issue himself. So he placated and put it on the younger brother. Though the younger brother was wrong, but he embellishes the truth by extending it to what might be the very thing that is in his life. So I pray, the younger brother, the older brother, is mad judicially because he's expecting justice served on the younger brother. Sometimes in our walk with God, we love grace to be applied to us. But when we look at others, we want them to be judged. We don't accept or expect the same grace that is applied to us. Kind of sense in my spirit that we need to get ourselves ready. There are many sons and daughters the Lord is bringing in. Check your heart. Check your spirit. There are sins of the flesh, but did you know there are also sins of the spirit? The sins of the spirit, the problem is you can't see them. Sins of the flesh, you can see them. Sins of the spirit, stinking attitudes. You can't touch them, but they are there. Are you happy to celebrate what God is bringing in your life and in our lives? So, Father, I want to thank you for this morning. Take your hand and put it upon your heart right now, wherever you are, in your lunch, wherever you're watching, in your car, wherever you are. Receive this grace. Father and child relationship. Father, I pray, build capacity in our lives and build your people. Build us as we walk with you. Build us as we stand with you. Build us as we stand on your word. Deliver us from the elder brother syndrome. That our relationship with you will be direct and not via some. That our relationship with God will not be from outside, but inside. Bring our value back. Some of us, we've been squashed by life, we've been squashed by circumstances. We don't even know how to address you. But Father, I pray, heal the wounds, heal the hurts of those that have been affected by the enemy. And I pray right now that your healing grace touch their lives in Jesus' name. I am the Lord that he liveth. I am the Lord your healer.
sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Amen. Thank you once again, Shimi Kotu Ministries Radio Network, with our co-producer, Kayla Paget, voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our Western Standard Time, coming to you weekly, empowering you for your destiny, the voice of destiny. Bless you.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.